much. Yes, I'm talking a bit about what space agencies do in general on sustainable development goals, and what, of course, ESA is doing in particular in addressing this issue. But before I go into it, I would like to also thank the new director of ESPE for having invited me here, and congratulate you to a new piece, very challenging piece of work, and I'm really happy being here, also myself being new in my job since a few months. So what I start with is the challenges or boundary conditions we are having more at global level, but of course on Earth observation there is some of it that affect us and how we respond to it. So these are, call them global boundary conditions, either on one side coming from issues that relate to the state of the planet and the way how we manage our planet. Of course, the population increase causes shortages of or pressures on water, energy, food in the next decades. There are predictions that these values are in the next two decades. We need increased water and food supply in the order of 35% to 50%. Of course, also other elements are climate change, more exposure to disasters, decreasing biodiversity, and so on. So really an increased pressure on the state of our planet. On the other side, this is more on the technology side and what we are facing in terms of development. We are having, of course, the big data phenomena. We are producing huge amounts of data from our own satellites, but also from others which we are accessing. Cloud computing, of course, becomes more and more an issue also in terms of data access, so that we are offering a hosted processing, that we are not bringing the data to the users anymore, but the user goes to the data, is processing an algorithm and brings back the product, which is much more efficient. And of course, the increase of mobile devices and so on, which really gives a completely new setup, a new context in which we are operating within our directorate of ESA, within a space, as a space agency within my directorate, but in fact at a large scale at a global level. So now coming to the Sustainable Development Goals. You have seen this slide, I'm pretty sure, so I'm not going into it. Maybe just to highlight some of those domains where space and Earth observation can be of particular use. There are also other domains where Earth observation can contribute, but these are the areas where, of course, Earth observation data and information can be particularly useful. They are zero hunger, clean water and sanitation, sustainable cities and communities, climate action, life below water, and life on land, just to see them from this diagram here. What is, of course, important, and I'm sure this has been presented very well, is that these sustainable development goals then lead to targets and then lead to indicators, and of course, the indicators being the ones that are specific where you can provide information that addresses really these goals. Let's just go through this in one quick moment. So these are the goals and the targets. As you know very well, they have been formulated in a way that they are very practical, can be implemented by governments the way they prefer them to implement. They are linked with typically statistical offices, so that really that the countries have their freedom of addressing these challenges, these goals, in the way they find it most appropriate and the way it is most sensible also in their national context. And I think this is a big change maybe to some of the earlier UN Millennium Development Goals or Sustainable Development Goals, because in this case I think it is really much closer to the governance schemes in place and making use of what is the capability but also the limitations of each government. The same applies to the indicators, which are then becoming of course much more concrete, where you get measurements or parameters which are indicating the state or the change of certain parameters in this sustainable development context. This slide here is quite interesting. It really shows when you go from goals to targets, which of those are having a spatial dimension. And spatial dimension means for us in Earth observation, where Earth observation potentially can provide some useful information. So out of the overall targets, you see here a list classified by gold, so by in the green color here, which adds up to 78, which is roughly half of the targets of the 100 and what's the number before 170 roughly targets, which are having a global spatial dimension, spatial dimension again where we can help with our Earth observation satellites. Let's see how this breaks down further. What I show here is a few examples of some of these goals and some of the targets. Let's take water and sanitation. Take 6.3 as an example, which requests or which asks for an improvement of water quality by reducing pollution by the year 2030. And then this is another target on terrestrial ecosystems, Global 15. And then you see here indicators that are identified as indicators how this can be done in very concrete terms. For example, by measuring the percentage of water bodies with good ambient water quality. Another target indicator related to water is percentage of change in the extent of water systems. Then on the terrestrial ecosystems, it is forest area. Again, the total area changes, the management of forest, and the degradation over area. So these are just the examples how this is working. And this is very practical, very concrete, because there we can really develop parameters that are actually really addressing these numbers, the water bodies, the total area of forest, the degradation of forest through deforestation, and so on. And I think this is really making it useful for various bodies to implement. So this is an example of, again, some of the targets and what they say and how this can relate to information which is provided by Earth observation. Again, take 2.4, which deals with food production and in terms of information derived from space, from Earth observation. You can create global maps of, in this case, NDVI, normalized vegetation indices, which are showing the state of vegetation globally with an indication of certain areas, whether there's an anomaly or not. Green, if it is towards the green, you see a positive anomaly. That means the vegetation index is higher than the average. If it is yellow, red, it is below, and you can immediately identify the areas which are affected more than others compared to the global average. Another example is air quality. Again, this is target 11.6. Which deals with the pollution in general. One measure which is expressed as an indicator is the annual mean levels of fine particulate matter, which is basically a pollution, as a dust pollution, small particles at the 2.5 size. And this is a map, again, created based on satellite data as a background image of the concentration of these particulate matters as an annual average. And then the circle values you see here are then two-year specific values, 2012-2014, as compared to the average. And then you can, of course, do these measurements over longer periods of time, of course, globally, again, to really address some of the very specific indicators as they're mentioned in the SDGs. Another example, again, just to show one on the forest side, this is target 15.1, which really deals with the forest areas and their extent, as I've shown before. What you see here in terms of data derived from satellites is tree cover 2013 globally, based on projects that are carried out on a routine basis to really map the globe and determine how much percentage is covered by trees. And of course, this is a very important indicator also for the living quality on planet Earth. And of course, variations of this, which comes in the next slide, of changes of forest cover and indicating areas which are endangered, where the forest cuts are largest as we know them from this information. For example, here, this is forest loss 2000-2014. And you see the red areas are the ones that you also read in the newspapers where forest or deforestation is particularly intense. The same can be displayed, of course, in annual curves, where you see here 2001-2014, the annual forest loss in million hectares, in this case of Brazil, Indonesia, and DRC. So really you see that there are variations over time, but you also see the relative weight or the relative importance of these deforestations that are still ongoing, and you can measure them and you can better understand the state of deforestation in this case. So this, all these examples basically serve to really highlight that Earth observation for some of these indicators can provide essential information. So this was really recognized by ministers when they met last year in Mexico at the GEO plenary, which was in November, where the ministers and the participants, so the member countries of GEO and the participants, which are mostly non-governmental organizations or international bodies, have really recognized the value of Earth observation for sustainable development and really encouraged countries having assets to launch an initiative to leverage Earth observation for this purpose. And this was quite a milestone decision and is really now being taken up by various space agencies and various countries to do this in a more systematic way. One concrete element is what is called the GEO Initiative 18, GI 18, where Earth observation is described in service of the 2030 agenda of SDG, which is a very concrete action plan of how this should be implemented. Just one word on this GI 18, which is really aiming at working with statistical agencies to provide them or support them in providing the information required. Also, they should ensure that methods and solutions are available for all to use, so in an open manner, which was raised before, and should really support countries and stakeholders in order to build up capacity to make use of this data and this information. Maybe important to note that a lot of organizations are participating. Key role, of course, GEO, the Group on Earth Observations, based in Geneva, but also CEOS, the Committee on Earth Observation Satellites, which has installed a working group really to work on SDGs and see how we can provide the type of information which you have seen before in a systematic way. The next one, now come a few slides which are actually some examples of across the agency activities, and there is Isabel, a colleague of mine, who will show the next three slides. And you use this one, and then it goes back to me. Yeah.
You keep that one. Just to give you a hint, just to give you a hint and to open up your appetite going further to Earth observation, just to give an indication that, in fact, all SDG can be supported one way or another by space tools going further than Earth observation. So just taking some small ones, if I take the number two, there are some elements, for example, for growing high-proteinic food with algae. They are analyzed for preparing exploration of the solar system to have high-protein nutriment. And this can also, of course, be used to grow this type of protein also in other areas, or to follow the livestock health, which is using Earth observation images, but not only. It combines it with other tools. For the health itself, of course, there is a lot of things that were done for human spaceflight, to prepare human spaceflight, to make sure of the health of the astronauts that can be also used on Earth and can get some spin-offs on that. Taking education, e-education with means of telecommunication satellites and developing tools. And we have education pages that can help transmitting science and technology to everybody. We have even a page for the kids in six languages that are accessible that can contribute to the SDG 4, SDG 7, affordable and clean energy. So monitoring of pipelines, providing, there was a hackathon recently for new ideas for efficiency, energy efficiency, and many other things. And climate action, well, we work a lot with Arctic and Antarctic, so there are a lot of activities to help supporting identification of what's happening in the Arctic, but also making sure that the development of the economy in the Arctic will be done in a fine way and will be supported, helping supporting safety of navigation, for example, or the correct life of indigenous people or people living there, and many, many other ideas. Water, this also comes from human spaceflight. There is the image you see on the top is the grey water treatment unit that was installed in Concordia Antarctic Station some years ago. That is a technology demonstration of a grey water treatment done with for exploration, and that is successful since years. So in order to reduce the waste in Antarctica, but also prepare the future. Or groundwater treatment, this image is in Morocco. It's the treatment of water, groundwater, so it's not recycling, so that a school has drinkable water in Morocco, so it's an example. Number 12, responsible consumption and production. Well, Concordia Station, ISS, you have to limit the waste, you have to recycle products, you have to limit your consumption. This can be models for consumption on Earth. And we have a project that's called MELISA, Closed Loop System, that builds the various elements for final and closed loop system. And for example, so life below water, so automatic identification system complemented by satellites, not only the ground ones, of course the Galileo navigation, the maritime communication and many other applications. And I mention each time the pages, these are specific pages that's called Space for Earth that try to group all news on our project linked to a specific subject. And this you can find here, Space for Earth. So it's trying to help making understandable what is being done, what could be done. And of course, we hope to receive the other way, what are the needs, what is still missing, so that we can help make the link. So this is what I'm trying to do, making the link. Thanks, Josef.
Back to the. So this is summarizing a bit that ESA is working on many domains on sustainable development goals. So it is a holistic approach, as you see here by clicking to the various things that the icons come up. That it is really a holistic approach in the sense that we are looking at sustainable development on Earth. You have seen some of these examples before in Earth observation, of course, but also in other parts, medicine, navigation. But then in space, of course, space debris is an issue that concerns us a lot. Just recently, we had one of our satellites, Sentinel 1, hit by a very small particle, five millimeter in size, but it created a 40 centimeter bump in the solar panel, which can be quite dangerous. In this case, luckily, there was only a smaller impact, I would say. The solar panel was not destroyed. It was a deformation. So the power reduction was 5%, but we have so much power there, so it doesn't really affect the mission. But sometimes it could also happen that a space debris could just destroy the whole satellite, as it is happening sometimes. So then, of course, codes of conduct, which is, of course, something, space traffic management, which is to be managed in a sustainable way. And then in the space sector, here also in the manufacturing part, both for rockets, for satellites, ESA is quite active also to transform, to use technology that is as environmentally friendly as possible, but also in some cases transferring technologies from research done in space that go into innovations outside and really create new domains outside the space domain. This is just one short summary of how this is organized. We have an office within ESA which coordinates sustainable development activities, which is existing since 2008, and is really elaborating, I would say, more at global level on issues related to sustainable development, and of course within in-house and externally promote sustainable development as a major goal. And these reports of this office and ESA's activities at large are published every 2 years in these publications, which are available also online, and where you can get more detailed information. And I think this is it. Thank you very much.